mouth. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too.
When I saw the number that Stephon Diggs signed for, I was blown away. Somebody lasting that long in free agency, signing a deal like that. But as Adam Schefter pointed out, I mean, once the details come out, especially given that only 26 of it was guaranteed, $26 million of the three-year, $69 million deal, kind of seems like it's a one-year deal, and then you figure it out from there for Stephon Diggs. But still, it's not a price tag I think the Packers are obviously willing to pay. It's not one I think I would be willing to pay for taking a risk on somebody who, while he's been very productive and good, it's a bit of a malcontent, and that's what ended his time in Buffalo before he ended up in Houston, and now he's a 31-year-old coming off of ACL surgery. I don't know if that would have been the answer to the Packers' receiver issues. But, Chewy, you took
Goody,
an issue.
You, like Goody, don't want to pay anybody. That's the problem. That's the problem, Gabe.
Well, I know. I'll pay. I just don't want to take on all the risk that would come with Stephon Diggs. Heck, if Stephon Diggs didn't have the issues in Buffalo that caused him to leave there, I think I'd consider, okay, maybe he's worth the risk in a 1 year, then kind of pay as you go. Similar to the type of deal, it seems like, at least on the surface, to what the Packers gave Josh Jacobs last year. But also, I don't know, A, if he's going to be healthy. If Stephon Diggs is going to be healthy, now all reports are saying he's on track to be ready for week one, but that doesn't help him get the chemistry that I would want with Jordan Love. And then two, if this is a run first, get Tucker Kraft involved offense, is this the type of dude who's going to be happy with that, or is he going to be causing issues?
Well, you also didn't want to pay Cooper Kupp.
No, because he's going to play two games.
Well, here's the problem, Gabe, and I said this in the production meeting. I guarantee when it comes to take every quarterback out of it, the second highest paid player on the team for the Green Bay Packers is Rashawn Gary at $25
million. Right around there, yeah.
I guarantee they're at the bottom of the list when it comes to second highest paid player or third highest paid player. They just don't want to pay someone in the $30 million range, right? Which tells me that they're a draft and develop team.
I think they're
willing to. You can be a draft and develop, but you got to supplement other things. And sometimes you have to overpay, Gabe. You have to.
Yeah, but if
you know what we're going to say at the end of this year, we're going to say, when are they going to get a number one receiver?
But I'm willing to overpay. But again, this is why I looked at the receiving cores or the receiving list at the beginning of free agency and went, it's Davante Adams or bust. Like, I would have given Davante Adams this type of contract. I would have given Davante Adams the contract he got for the Rams. The tough part there, again, is that Goody and the Packers didn't even reach out to him. Like, everybody else had major question marks. And I don't want to. I don't want to pay for question marks, man. Like, I don't want to roll the dice and then be stuck with the bill when Stephon Diggs is complaining in week three or four because he's not getting the ball enough because he can't see the field because his knee hasn't helped. He hasn't recovered fully from his knee and he's still working his way back.
Let me ask you this though. Okay, let's say Christian Watson comes back week five, right? Has 48 catches for a 13.8 yard average. X amount of. What do you think he's going to get on the market?
No idea.
And do you think the Packers are going to pay him?
Doubtful. Unless it's some sort of reasonable deal, and they feel like again, week five would be
incredibly. There are no more reasonable deals when it comes to receivers in this league. There are no more reasonable deals.
Mecole Hardman was reasonable.
You know what I'm going to say. That's the answer, Mecole Hardman? You know?
Nicole.
I'd take Sammy Watkins probably right now.
I mean,
you know
Sammy's,
why? Because they're
going to
run the ball,
yeah.
And he's a better blocker.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
There are no reasonable paid receivers in this league anymore.
Well,
Gabe, everyone we looked at, we thought Davante was going to be 16. Mm-hmm. What was he, 23?
23.
Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs. There's no more reasonable. You have to pay these guys.
Sure,
you
but again, if
I'm going
to. You
have to pay them if you want them.
But that's the thing. Like, I don't want to pay for the uncertainty. Again, which is why Davante Adams has shown that he's healthy, can show that he's productive. Yeah, maybe he suffers an injury at some point this year, but he's not coming off of a major injury. Like, that's where I'd be okay paying $23 million a year for a guy like that. But Stephon Diggs, like, because it's
Chris,
not
what
just
about Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin.
He's coming off a tough injury.
Good money.
I mean, and he wasn't leaving Tampa Bay. Didn't leave Tampa Bay because the Patriots were interested in getting him, and he said no to whatever they offered, and he
left
decided
the money
to
on
stay.
The table.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, there's no more reasonably paid receivers anymore.
Not top of the end, not top or guys who are perceived to be top line. But that's what you have to avoid in free. Isn't the biggest thing you have to avoid in free agency is paying for past production, hoping that that continues, right? Like you want it.
They do a little bit of it, Gabe. Rashawn Gary, although I don't even know why they paid him.
Well, because that's the other way, right? You were projecting forward, thinking that he could get somewhere, which he obviously didn't. But it's also what they did for Xavier McKinney, and that was handsomely rewarded with a first-team All-Pro selection this year.
But once again, when you put safeties in the equation of highest paid positions, that's bottom of the line.
Well, he's
running backs, Gabe, are probably the bottom, right?
Xavier McKinney is the seventh highest paid Packer on average salary.
No, I'm saying position-wise, the safety position, when you go through all the positions, is on the bottom end.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like paying a receiver. It's not like paying a cornerback. It's not like paying a defensive end. Safety is looked upon, and they're paid accordingly as the sixth or seventh most impactful position on the team. Right?
Sure.
Corners blow them out of the water.
But also, like, Chu, you would be the first one if they paid for Stephon Diggs, and then he has the issues that we're scared about. Like, you would be the first one in line with, oh, man, blew that deal. Can't believe they gave him all that money.
Do you think if Trey Hendrickson comes available and the number is $38 million, do you think the Packers would pay him?
I think they would pay him if he was on the open market. I don't think that, like you said, I don't think they would trade top draft capital and pay him. I believe that if he was just a straight-up free agent, the way that Reggie White was back in the day, I believe that they would pay him. But I don't think, and you're the first one who brought this up, and I think it was brilliant when you did. Like, they don't want to do the double whammy. Like, they don't want to give, and they can't. And honestly, especially after we talked about yesterday with Jason and the needs this roster still has, I don't know if they can afford to trade top draft capital and pay a player. But it seems like he's staying in Cincinnati anyway.
Yeah, it just goes back to philosophical differences because Goody's more like Ted, and I want him to be more like Ron, and he's never going to be Ron, you know?
But again, like, Ron can't overpay Reggie unless he's a free agent. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
Like,
yes.
Like, if Reggie doesn't actually become available and the Eagles were able to wrap him up and sign him to a contract after that 1992 season, like, Ron can't get aggressive and over... Well, I guess
no,
it wasn't an overpay, but pay the most money for Reggie White than anybody else was offering.
Do you think Goody is paying, which Ron did, a backup tight end that plays one series to the starting tight end's three the same amount as he's paying the starting tight end? Do you think Goody does that? There ain't no way in hell he does that.
No, correct.
And Ron did it, and Ron was brilliant.
Yeah, it was a gamble.
He said, I'm retiring unless you pay me what Chewy got. I got my money, so I didn't really care. I said, pay him as much as you want, and Ron did it. And it turned out to be brilliant because he was awesome.
But he also almost backfired because it took Keith a while to show up.
Yeah, but because that was Green Bay. It had nothing to do with the Packers.
Well,
he didn't want to live in Green Bay.
That's fair, but it still almost blew up because, I mean, he didn't show up until halfway through the 95 season.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, but I'm just talking moves like that, Gabe. It's just like...
I mean, that was a huge gamble. I mean, Ron rolled the dice a lot, and he came out on top a lot, which is why he's now in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But I just... and
are people more like that, Gabe, or are they more like, let's be uber conservative and not...
I think more often than not, and this was an interesting conversation that... Brian Belaga and Jason had on their show yesterday, because Belaga was in discussing some of the day on Wilde and Tausch, where Belaga was talking about his time with the Chargers after he left Green Bay. And it felt like everybody was always in job preservation mode, where in his time in Green Bay, even though Mike got fired, obviously, yeah. McCarthy got fired in his time there. It never felt like anybody was in job preservation mode. But I would say more often than not, general managers, and you see this in coaching as well, which is why guys being aggressive like took forever to, I think, kind of come around and be almost the norm in coaching now.
Yeah.
When you get to that position, you're more often going to play it conservatively because that is going to keep you in the job for the longest.
Because they want their $5 million a year instead of rolling the dice and getting fired. That's not the kind of GM I want. I'm sorry. It's just not.
I feel like that's the majority of general managers.
That's why a lot of them are meh.
Yeah.
You know? A lot of them are meh. And I get it, you know? I mean, no one wants to get canned, but...
Because again, the Ron Wolf, the stuff that Ron did, I still, if I had...
Based upon the way Ron dressed, he didn't care about money at all. That's all I'm saying. Okay? I don't know if the man had any vices, but clothes were definitely not one of them.
Fashion was not one of them.
No.
One of my biggest wishes that I have, like, as a sports fan, I wish, like, Twitter or something equivalent to it, some sort of social media existed when he traded a first-round pick for a guy who was a second-round pick the year before. Like, just the backlash, and like, I wish I was not 6 years old at that time.
Yeah.
Because I want to know what the fan reaction was like. And the draft probably wasn't as big back then the way it is now.
Yeah,
but
no.
Just the fan reaction of, wait, you traded our first-round pick for a guy who was a second-round pick a year ago and a third-string quarterback?
Well, and he, you know.
I mean, it's
he liked to have a beer or two or 17. but let me ask you guys this. Was that the best trade in sports across the board?
That's a good question.
Across the board, any sport, was that the most ballsy trade that worked out?
Oh, it's the most ballsy trade.
Good.
I think it's the most ballsy trade that worked out.
Getting an NFL Hall of Famer that takes you to a championship after a long drought for a single first-round pick?
Yeah, but again, this guy was on the verge of drinking himself out of the league. Like, he was a sideshow that the only thing he did on game days was when Jerry Glanville wanted him to throw into the third deck.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking Wayne Gretzky. I don't know the details of that trade, but that obviously worked out real well for L.A.
But also, like,
he was the greatest player ever at the time.
Like, when Wayne Gretzky got traded.
Oh, that's good.
He was already Wayne Gretzky. Like, when Brett Favre got traded, he was like, wait, he was a second-round pick who was drinking his way out of the league who didn't have all of his intestines. Like, that was probably the top three things that Packers fans knew about.
That has got to be the greatest trade of all time.
That's, again, I want to agree with you, but I don't know if we're missing anything. But it just, there's no way. Like, there's no way it's not. Because nobody knew who Brett Favre was at the time.
Yeah.
He was the third-string quarterback for the bleeping Falcons. And it's not like the Falcons were great. It's not like they were the Niners.
They were just a clown show.
Yeah. It's not like they were, you know, this great franchise that just had, you know, quarterbacks coming out of their ears. No, they just didn't know what they had in Brett, apparently. Yeah, it's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Gruber Law Offices, Thanalysis Live is back. It's coming up this weekend, March 29th, at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Join Thanasis Adetokounmpo for a live show that is going to entertain fans like none other. Last year, Thanasis surprised the MVP Giannis Adetokounmpo with a surprise appearance from ESPN's Stephen A. Smith. So you never know what Thanasis has planned for 2025. March 29th at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Thanalysis Live with Thanalysis Adetokounmpo. Get your tickets to Gruber Law Offices, Thanalysis Live right now. Visit TALiveShow.com, TALiveShow.com to get your tickets. Excitement and entertainment you can't get anywhere else. It's Gruber Law Offices, Thanalysis Live, presented by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and Carbliss, featuring Brandon Jennings and a surprise guest, also supported by the Prisoner Wine Company and McDonald's. TALiveShow.com to get your tickets. TALiveShow.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm saying if we collectively, all the people in their cars, all the people listening on the YouTube stream, all the people listening this morning, if we all do it together, there's power in prayer, friends.
Yes, there is. Bless me, Father, for I played man.
On 94.5 ESPN.
we need is candor.
So a couple of people on the Carbless Talking text line, 800-990-3776, as Chewy had asked the question, is that Brett Favre deal that Ron Wolf pulled off one of the greatest of all time? Two people, Matthew and then Billy in Sussex, both saying Babe Ruth. Obviously, that was a trade, and they sold him. But he wasn't quite Babe Ruth, who hit 60 home runs yet, but he still, like, led the league in home runs, was a really good pitcher, led the Red Sox.
Was on his way to being a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, like, Red Sox had led the Red Sox to, like, three different World Series. Yeah. Like, he was pretty established. It was a boneheaded move by the Red Sox, don't get me wrong. But it wasn't a gamble for the Yankees, right? It wasn't a gamble to acquire Babe.
No. Yeah. And the fact that you brought it up, Gabe, the fact that you're trading a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And it had to be an early first-round pick, right? Because they stunk.
So
I'm saying the Packers.
So Ron Wolf had acquired the 17th overall pick from a previous trade from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
So the Packers kept their pick in 92, which was your draft class, and they took T-Buck at 5, but they traded 17 in order to acquire Brett.
For a guy who's done nothing, didn't even play, was a sideshow.
Correct. And by the way, the health issues on top of... Well, but the health issues, because it wasn't just like the intestines thing after the car accident that he had at Ole Miss. There was like a degenerative hip issue that was like a big question mark at the time.
Yeah.
Similar to what, obviously not the same thing, but similar, I think, to what Bo Jackson had that a lot of teams were kind of scared of. Like, when you start stacking up all the questions surrounding Brett in 1992... Yeah. Giving up the 17th overall pick for a guy who was the 33rd overall pick a year before, like, is crazy town. It's absolutely bonkers.
Like you said, and the fact that he had, like, 12 feet of his intestine removed, which certainly didn't help the smell coming out of there.
So over at Packers Wire, speaking of the Green Bay Packers, they put together three questions that I just kind of want to roll through here with you, Chew. See how you answer these questions of three questions around the offense. And the way they phrased it, it was three crucial questions facing the Packers offense this offseason. So I want to know how you would answer these questions. Question number one, and I feel like this one's already been answered, so it's probably the easiest to answer. Who will start at center in 2025?
Elton.
Yeah. So that's the easiest. Question number two, and this is something you have been concerned about at different times, who is RB2? Who's the second running back?
Wilson.
So what do you do with Marshawn Lloyd then? High draft pick, third rounder.
What, man, I think we're underselling Wilson. Every time he's he stepped up. I think he's a good back. He's a different kind of back, but I think he's very good. Lloyd, I don't know. USC arrogance.
Well, you know, Lloyd
arrived, didn't play last year. I mean,
he's a third round
pick.
Know. So
he's,
you know,
an
he's
unknown.
He's getting an opportunity.
Yes.
Whether or not he seizes that opportunity remains to be seen. But he was a third round pick a year ago. By the way, Emmanuel Wilson, 508 rushing yards, 4 touchdowns, 106 carries last year.
And then what's the average on that, Gabe?
I mean, it's right around 5. It's got to be. It's right around 5.
I mean, that's great. 4 is the benchmark. 4 is what you want.
I mean, it's, you know, it's basically 500 yards on. I mean, it's going to be slightly under 5 because it's 508 yards on 106 carries. But again, the simple rudimentary math is going to be that's basically 500 yards on 100 carries. It's going to be 4.8, 4.9, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Really, really good. And then the big question, what does the future hold for this wide receiver group? This is what we're going to be talking about until somebody actually emerges, right?
This is what I think, in a nutshell. I think, I mean, there's a lot of action going on at 1265 right now with bringing the top receivers in, correct? I don't know if
Tet McMillan. Well, so they brought in Isaiah Bond.
Yeah, who I saw that.
Fans may recognize he's the one who had the game-winning touchdown in the Iron Bowl for Alabama a couple years ago. When Saban retired, he transferred to Texas had a good year last year, but he's more of a second or third round pick. He's not a first round.
I believe he's also said he was going to run faster than
Xavier Worthy.
That's the name, and he did not come close.
I think they take.
He still had the second fastest time out of anybody at the combine this year, though. Correct. So still very fast.
I think they draft one in the second to reload the position. I think they all play nice, you know, and I'm saying the receivers they have now. Nice is like nothing crazy. Watson will come back probably early in the season. We'll have decent numbers. And I think it's going to get to the point where it's going to be, all right, go see what you can get. And they're not going to pay him. Yeah. I just don't think they're resigned to the fact that, hey, this is what receivers make. I'm sorry. You might think Devontae's worth 16. He got 23. You might think Diggs is worth this. He got that. Cup. Same thing. Until they come to the realization that, hey.
Well, but you would not have to pay anywhere near $20 million for either Dobbs or Watson.
You don't know that?
I do know that.
I do know that. Because here's what.
Because here's the thing.
Like, Stephon
Diggs.
People
still like Watson. Even though his numbers aren't great, they still like Watson. I'm telling you.
But nobody's going to give him $20 million. I promise you that. Like, because at least with Stephon Diggs, at least with Cooper Kupp, like, you know what their top end is. Like,
but they're on the back end, though. They're on the back end. He's young.
But before the injury last year, Stephon Diggs was third in the league in receptions. He was on pace to have another 1,000-yard receiving season. These guys haven't gotten close to 1,000 yards in their four years in the league.
I disagree. I totally disagree.
All right, what do you want to put on
that? He's a fast kid.
Neither,
the biggest knock.
Neither,
hold on,
Dobbs,
hold on.
Neither
biggest,
Dobbs or Watson are getting $20 million average.
Dobbs, no. Take Dobbs out of it.
Okay, Watson's not getting $20 million a year.
I'm saying this. The question mark on Watson was he tough enough? I think he proved it last year. Now, unfortunately, he tore his ACL, which is going to be a little hiccup for him. But I think that was the team's biggest concern is, man, this guy just won't play. He's soft. And I think he answered those questions. There were a few games there, you know, where Malik Willis had to play, so his numbers weren't outstanding. And they know that the philosophy of this Packer team is to spread the wealth.
Suddenly, this guy is pro-Christian Watson. Yeah. What happened?
I'm just saying. It's exactly what you're saying about the guys you just talked about. Devontae will get 16. Well, he got 23.
Well, because the cap went up and teams decided to spend money.
What do you think Watson's going to get after a decent season?
I bet he would.
But he's not going to have Chewy. He's not playing till November. At best.
No, he's playing before that. Hockenson was back. Same timeline. Hockenson was back like week four or week five.
Yeah, and how good was he?
Plus, they're not going to look at his numbers this year. They're going to look on based on potential. Look, he's young.
Fast. His potential,
he's big.
Khalil Shakir got a big contract this year, and he got $13 million, and that is comparable in terms of production.
So you think he's going to – you're crazy if you think he's going
to – the guys making 20-plus right now are Mike Evans, Devontae Adams, Chris Godwin, Terry McLaurin, Calvin Ridley, Michael Pittman, Deebo Samuel, 24 – is Nico Collins. Those guys can't shake a stick at Nico Collins.
What's the cap going up next year? Is it way too early to tell?
You don't know. Because, again, they projected and then it went up $10 million more than it was projected.
So give me an average. It's going to go up 10. It's going
to
go up
5 to
this.
10. I mean, again, it depends upon how many days they invent to play and how they sell that to whatever streaming service they're going to sell it to.
Christian Watson. You know what you guys are? All right, so we have Angie's dad.
I don't want to pay Christian Watson.
1972 Bob. You have Angie, who's 1996 Angie, still wants milk to be $1.28. And you guys are 2006 Packers. 2000. What do you mean? Why can't we pay him what Javon Walker got? This is ridiculous.
Well, okay. Riddle me this, Batman.
Oh, Batman.
What would you pay Christian Watson next season?
I don't know.
No, you gotta know. If you're gonna pin this on me and Josh, you gotta answer my question. You gotta answer my question.
I tell you what, Gabe,
put him under the
lamp. It's gonna be closer to 20 than it is gonna be 8 million. You can get a stake in Horicon for $32.95. Can't get that in Tampa.
Can't get it in Tampa.
Well, no. I mean, in fairness, I don't think you can get a steak and Horka.
Yeah, where are you going?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, we don't have a grocery store, so you can't get one there.
2006. I need a name for YouTube.
I don't know if Quick Trip has.
I need a name. 2006 YouTube.
I mean, the two restaurants we have wouldn't have steak. Maybe like a Salisbury steak at the diner.
Yeah.
I don't think you can even get a steak in Horka.
What an unnecessary shot at the great people.
All right, then go what's just south of there, Gabe. What's Hartford?
Oh, yeah, yep. Hartford. Go to the Mike's.
Are you kidding me? In Hartford, you can get a steak for
but
32.
Chewy, again, Chewy, like, his numbers aren't good.
Yeah, yeah. You trying to accuse us of being behind the time is the richest thing maybe you've ever attempted to sneak by us.
I'm telling you.
Maybe the richest ever.
What are you talking about, McGonagall? Five forks?
I live in more of a city than you could shake a stick at.
Yeah, that's true. Like his city, the city Josh grew up in versus the city you grew up in, Chew. I mean,
that's fair.
McGonagall's a bustling metropolis compared to where you and I grew up.
That's $24+ million is Nico Collins, Devontae Smith, DJ Moore, Jalen Waddle, T. Higgins, Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk, Amon Ross, St. Brown.
That was 4 years ago. Here, you're making my point for me.
No, okay. So Khalil Shakir got what?
13.
Khalil Shakir had 821 yards.
Who the hell is Khalil Shakir?
That's what the rest of the league is going to be saying about Christian Watson because his high is 620 yards in a season.
Is he the drummer in Shaka Khan? Who is Khalil Mashir?
Khalil Shakir was one of the top receivers for the Bills last year. 821 receiving yards and 4 touchdowns. Which, again, the 76 receptions, which just laps the field of anything that Christian Watson's ever done.
How many? Has Christian Watson ever had 76 in his career?
He's never had 76 targets.
I'm saying, like, total catches.
Oh, total catches. 98 total catches in 3 years. 98 total catches in 3 years. 1,600.
Well, we'll
see. Like, his career, I'll give you this, Chew. If you add all of his career numbers up, that's worth over $20 million per year. 98 catches for 1,653 yards and 14 touchdowns.
We'll see. We'll see.
I'm pretty sure Stephon Diggs had a year like that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So you guys are saying 6 million, I'm saying 20 million.
No, that's not
million. What
we're saying.
No.
We're saying closer to clear. I mean, he's going to get Shakir money, which is like 13
right.
to 14.
I hope you remember this conversation because
believe me, I've marked it, and I'm going to laugh at you so hard.
At least he admitted that he won't remember the conversation.
Well, if I lose,
we have forgetfulness, especially when it comes to not being right.
It's called selective forgetfulness.
Convenient forgetfulness, even.
Yeah, there's that.
If you think Josh is fired up about this, Josh was real fired up about something that came out of New York yesterday. We'll let him sound off on that. Coming up next, after I tell you about our friends at the Ewald Automotive Group. Get more with the all-new Kia K4 at Ewald Kia of Oconomowoc. Just $188 per month. Get more legroom, more miles per gallon than the Sentra. It's the all-new 2025 Kia K4 with a whole lot more. $188 a month for buy. Get it with Ewald's exclusive 20-year, 200,000-mile warranty. Visit Ewald Kia of Oconomowoc. Deal expires at month's end. And with Ewald, it's always easy. Just go to ewaldauto.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How are you feeling, big guy, about the MRI?
It's starting to hurt now. I think I have mental issues. I really do.
Well,
gonna have to clip that
for
me?
Yeah, that's...
Just hold on to it?
I know, I don't think there's anything wrong. It's just a thing... It's something in my brain's telling me.
Something is wrong, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune into Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks. Find Hear District now at Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Chew, how do you feel about copycats?
She's going, and he's a hypocrite. Kind of like I was early in the show. But you can tell the story first before I tell him why he's a hypocrite.
So Josh, he's a hypocrite.
Yep.
Okay. So the Mets, the New York Mets, announced yesterday that they are going to have a mascot race this year at Citi Field. It is a 5-borough mascot race featuring a pizza slice representing Brooklyn, a skyscraper representing Manhattan, the ferry representing Staten Island, the giraffe representing the Bronx, and the subway representing Queens. So 5 mascots racing around the outfield warning track. And Joshy, you were fired up because, well, there is a former prominent Brewers figure who is running things currently on the baseball side for the New York Mets.
Yeah, I mean, I went after David Stearns via Twitter for this because it's obvious the baseball ops and the president there running things. The connection is obvious. I don't begrudge David Stearns for taking what is definitely a more appealing job that pays more and affords you the ability. It's just lifting directly something that's been around for decades in Wisconsin at AmFam Field. Like, it's a tradition. Now, people have tried to steal it. The pierogies, the presidents.
Which are still going, by the way, in Pittsburgh and Washington.
The execution of the, we're putting mascots to represent each borough is so lame. Not even, like, the brat race or the sausage race makes perfect sense. It's a tie-in. It's fun. It's interesting. Like, they've got a giraffe and a piece of pizza running. Like, what is that? It's just a lame ripoff. It's not interesting. It's not inventive. It's boring.
I'd also say that watching the video, the mascots aren't very good.
No.
All right, you want the hypocrite part?
Please.
And Gabe will appreciate this because Gabe's going to agree with me 1,000%, okay? I've been to AmFam Field, not very often, but I've been. And I've been to Camp Randall where they've played Sweet Caroline. Sweet Caroline is owned by Boston, Boston alone, okay? They own it.
You've never been
Gabe,
more wrong.
Am I right or wrong?
You're right, but...
They own Sweet Caroline. No one else plays Jump Around. I've never been to another stadium where they play Jump Around. We leave that alone. So that's where you're a hypocrite. Okay?
I went to like 20 games at AmFam Field last year. Not once did they play Sweet Caroline.
Well, I've been there. Like 8 years.
Like it's not a part of like. So what you're saying is that nobody can play because
no
the Red Sox. The Red Sox specifically play it in the middle of the eighth inning, at Fenway Park. So like, if you're the Brewers, you can't just like, or any other baseball team, you can't just randomly play it in the third inning.
Well, what do you think about Jump Around? Should anyone be able to play Jump Around?
People
do. No, the Badgers started that. Where? I've been to a lot of college games and no one plays Jump Around.
What you're talking about here is like classic stadium songs. Sweet Caroline is like bigger than, it's not like Boston invented the song.
He's from Boston. He's from New England, so he owns it. It's mine.
It's Neil Diamond, by the way, is the
Neil
singer.
Diamond. Yep.
I believe there's another stadium that plays exactly Jump Around at a similar time to Camp Randall at this point.
Well, then I would crush them too, because they shouldn't.
Yeah, and it's like theirs. Playing music is a whole lot different than running out mascots to run a race on the warning track.
Josh, just because you invented a chair doesn't mean no one else can build a chair.
What? Just because you invented playing in the eighth doesn't mean no one else can play in the eighth.
They're not using sausages there. They're using, you know, the burrows.
It's a watered-down, worse version.
Like, the pizza look. Like, the only thing that I think makes sense is the Staten Island Ferry.
Yeah.
But it just looks bad. Like, the skyscraper, like the sunglasses are just way too big. The giraffe looks kind of like Jeffrey the giraffe from back in the Toys R Us days. It's like a meaner version. It's just that the execution's poor. And I've got bad news for you, bud.
Now, here's the problem.
I've got bad news for you when it comes to Neil Diamond.
You are getting very close to being sausage snobs or race snobs, just like I was a Florida snob. No one else should have characters running around the ball. You're snobby, little snobby, Gabe. Now you can say what you're going to say.
Where do you think Neil Diamond's from?
He's from somewhere. He's been to New England.
He's born in Brooklyn.
Well, that's New England adjacent.
Even more fraudulent. The competitors? Your enemies?
I mean, I guess it could be worse. I mean, it's not the Bronx.
Yeah,
Brooklyn?
Where's Jump Around from? Where are they from? They're from Boston, I think. Yeah. Or
also the lineage of Jump Around matters because it was players who were looking for a song to play to pump up the crowd that then became a thing. It was a natural evolution.
House of Pain.
It wasn't some, we need some more entertainment, so we're just going to do what someone else does. And then it just so happens to be the same place that David Stern's cut his teeth at.
I think my biggest issue is you could have done better.
Yes.
Like, if you're going to have, honestly, the presidents.
Yeah, they're from
presidents
LA,
make
close.
Presidents make sense. Just the other side of the country, you know, the same continent. The presidents make sense in Washington. Like, that makes a ton of sense. Like, I think that's executed well. I don't know how I feel about the pierogies.
It's at least
there's a lot of Polish in Pittsburgh.
Okay, that's fine.
A ton.
It's at least, I think it's kitschy enough.
Yeah.
The Burroughs things feels forced with the mascots that are like, okay.
I can't imagine this sticking around and having longevity the way that the other three have in D.C., in Pittsburgh, and of course, the original sausages. Yeah. Like, that's my biggest issue is like, okay, if you're going to do this, fine. Just do it better.
See, I think you guys should be flattered.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you. Like,
wrong way.
If you're gonna copy it, go all the way. Don't make it a D. Copy it and make it an A.
Okay.
Come up with a better idea than like a slice of pizza representing like the pizza's the Bronx.
Brooklyn.
No, Bronx pizza's Brooklyn.
Joshy is more protective of Wisconsin than I am of New England. Fair point.
Not true.
Gabe.
Not true.
I'm not talking to you. Gabe.
Not true.
I mean, it's pretty close.
No, it's not.
It's closer than Joshy wants to admit.
I left New England. He didn't leave Wisconsin.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Believe me, if I could play in the NFL, I would have gone wherever this
I mean, Joshy, I will say this. Joshy did briefly leave Wisconsin. Uh-huh. He went to New York.
Sure did.
And they threw him out.
I threw myself out.
Well, after some of the things that Josh experienced in New York, I don't know if I necessarily blame him for leaving. But, Josh, you've got some other fun stuff to tell us about over at Wanna Parlay.
Yeah, we're talking a little baseball here. Opening day is just tomorrow.
Ooh.
And the tournament will restart. We get to see some of those games starting just on Thursday. So what I want you to do? Pull out your phone and download the Wanna Parlay app. It's so much fun, and you can compete against me and other Jen, Gabe, and Chewy listeners to see who can combine a few picks and build the best parlay. It's just $2 for taking a shot at taking home a huge cash prize. It's a blast and so simple. There are new basketball, hockey, baseball, and combat sports contests every single week. And again, the best part, it is only $2 to enter a parlay. So here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, click around, and if you decide to upload money to play and get into the action, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match for up to $250. If you put $20 in, you get $20 back. If you put $100 in, you get $100 back. Download the Wanna Parlay app, use code JGC, and let's play the world's richest parlay today. Code JGC. You must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, has college football gotten a little sleazy where you can recruit?
Gotten?
A little? No, I'm saying from the standpoint, it used to be.
That was good.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
One poll we put up on the Xfinity Exteriors Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll is Ron Wolf trading a first-round pick for Brett Favre the greatest trade in sports history? 70% of people so far are saying yes.
I would be a yes.
Yeah. Again, it's just...
The only one I see mentioned, which I don't know if we qualifies, is the Herschel Walker trade where the Cowboys fleeced.
Yeah, and then that set them up.
Yeah, to then go on a dynastic run.
Mm-hmm. With all the draft picks that they acquired.
Yeah, but that was one of the worst trades.
I've
seen that on lists.
Yeah, I mean...
Ricky Williams has got to be another one. That was a terrible...
But realistically, I mean, if this is on the best trades list, wouldn't it also be the worst trade for Atlanta?
For Atlanta. Good point.
Like, so fair. If it's best on one end, it's the worst on the other. Just saying. Will the Intouch, not sure who the Cousin Sub of the Day is today. Coming up next.